The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good Thursday morning, everybody. How are we doing? Gather around. Come on. How are we doing? Thursday, April 8th, 2021. I hope you are doing well. I'm doing superbly. Yesterday was a day of triumph, a day of victory, a day where I beat down the Moderna number two side effects creature. Had everything lined up. Bless Rodney Anderson's heart. He was ready to come in and do the show in case my Moderna number two laid me low. It totally didn't happen. I mean, nothing. Literally, not a zilch. Nothing. So I get off the air yesterday, right? And then I start to hear from listeners and others and triangulations of other people's stories who said, Mark, the first 12 or 20 something, but out like one day later, like 24 hours later, that's when I went down for the count. So I'm living in dread of yesterday at like 2 o'clock, because that would have been 24 hours past my Moderna number two on Tuesday. So 2 o'clock came and went, 3 o'clock came and went. Piece of cake, no problem. So excellent, excellent. Hi, and so now 12, 13 days from now, I'm Captain Vaccinated, all good, ready to roll, and ready to roll on today's program. We are going to welcome Congressman Roger Williams 1 hour from now. We got to talk some border stuff. Did you hear Governor Abbott demanding an investigation of the San Antonio shelter, the Freeman Coliseum, down in the Alamo City, the city of my birth, San Antonio? Abuse going on in there, hunger going on in there, dashing against the rocks of COVID protocols going on in there. And so I've got a little, I guess William Joy had a piece on this last night on Channel 8. I'll play that for you here in a second. Go to your gun locker and put another lock on it, because here they come. And I'm not prone to hyperbole, and they're not going to come knocking on your door tonight. We're here for your guns. Not tonight, they're not. But when Joe Biden says, here come some executive actions, some unilateral orders that have gun ownership, and anytime the media culture, the fawning stenographers in the media culture, every time they say, oh, what's this designed to do? It's designed to, ready, say it with me, address gun violence. As if something government does can magically stop lunatics from killing people. What incredible narcissism that has always been. I think I could figure out United Airlines a little better now. I mean, Delta was the one that started hopping on the cult of lies about Georgia. But then United had a little announcement yesterday. Some additional race baiting and immersion into the poisonous world of racial politics. We'll tell you what they've decided to do. Will I get to it this very first segment? I might, because you've heard me say 5-6 times in the last few weeks that for the first time in my life, race relations are getting worse. And it's been true for probably a little over a decade. Gee, that would take us back to the Obama presidency, wouldn't it? Yes, it would. And that's not coincidental. So all this and more, ready to roll, a fresh day of challenges. You know what we do to best energize ourselves to address those challenges. Lord, guide us and protect us as we face a whole new slate of challenges on this Thursday. Be with us as we chart a course out of our COVID nightmare. Help us be smart and safe. Let us continue to lift up those around us whose lives and livelihoods have been sidelined by shutdowns and restrictions. Lord, we thank you every day for this blessed nation and your hand in creating it. Fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. Guide us to fight for our liberties within the law and by following your law. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are times of trial and challenge. Lift us as we follow your word and work for a better America where our Constitution is honored, our borders have meaning, our elections are reliable, our differences are hashed out with honesty and goodwill, where our freedoms of speech and worship and our Second Amendment rights, among others, are protected. As we face each day's problems, give us the clarity. Amid all these problems, and there's always so many to shake a stick at, give us the clarity to still look around and to cherish so many blessings that we have in this great country, in our communities, and in our families. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything. And we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. I know a lot of people around the country. Sounds like a brag, like you don't. I know people in other states. How crazy is that? And here's the reason I mention that, because they're all emailing me, talking to me, calling me, Facebooking me. Mark, is Abbott running for president? I said, I don't know. He's running for governor next year. And every time I ask him about it, this is the normal boilerplate answer. All I'm thinking about is running for re-election in 22. That's all I'm thinking about. That's all I'm thinking about. That's all I'm thinking about. And, of course, that's all George W. Bush said he was thinking about in 1998. And he won and pretty well started his presidential campaign driving home from the second inaugural ball in Austin. Here's why people are saying that, because all the presidential buzz is DeSantis, 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 some Kristi Noem until she stuck her foot in it about transgender athletics. She had a little bit of redemption with an executive order that did much of what the South Dakota legislature would do. But there's Kristi Noem remains in timeout. She remains in timeout for a spine check, for a clarity check. Asa Hutchinson, as we chronicled yesterday, is banished from the table of reliable conservatism. What a complete self-own on Tucker Carlson night before last, as he tried to invoke Reagan and limited government in his refusal to protect Arkansas children from chemical castration and the grotesque, horrific wishes of, yes, parents and, yes, doctors. But some parents are evil and some doctors are quacks. Well, my 10-year-old thinks he's a, my son thinks he's a daughter. Let's go with that. Hey, here's an idea. Let's not. So anyway, everybody's taking notes and making lists and blah. Nobody knows if Trump's going to run in 2024. I'm still going with no. I think he's going to, you think he's having a good time in private life now. Let 21, 22, and 23 roll out. He's got, there's golf. He may have a social media platform of his own. He will still be taking up space rent-free in everybody's brain. He doesn't have to be president to be one of the most important Americans ever. So I don't think he's going to run. If that changes, I'll let you know. So that means wide open field. Wide open field. And the reason people are asking me about Abbott is everybody remembers how some really serious grassroots conservatives in Texas were really annoyed with Abbott, that he wasn't opening up as fast as DeSantis, that he wasn't, that Texas was more open than California or New York, but, you know, who wasn't? But Florida was the gold standard, and DeSantis was the gold standard. And it took a little while, but then Abbott removed the mask mandates, and so now here we all are. A lot of people are not over that. Let's say some people are not over that. But in the weeks since the mask mandates were lifted, every time Greg Abbott's been in the news, what has it been about? Busting Biden's chops on the border. Taking some conservative stand that is exactly what 2024 voters are going to look for. Well, I'll play the piece from William Joy on Channel 8 about him down at the border. The Second Amendment. Here comes some big time. He's going to make us a Second Amendment sanctuary state. So, and it's funny because Governor Abbott may just be doing exactly the conservative things that we elected him to do. But right now, suffering through the sludge of this Harris-Biden administration, all we want to do, please God, is it 2024 yet? or 2023 yet where people can start announcing and we can start to hone our skills and find out who our standard bearer is going to be. There's so much attention toward that in conservative circles that anytime somebody steps forward and does something bold and conservative and wonderful, instantly, ding, 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 2024, they must be running for president. So I will tell you right now, I have absolutely no idea if Abbott has presidential aspirations. If he does, welcome. Come on in. Let's see how that goes. Let's see exactly. But by the way, I don't know how that goes. I will tell you, Ron DeSantis is the gold standard right now. He just is. And you know who he owes a lot of that to this week? 60 Minutes for that inexcusable hit job that they did on him. It only attracts more conservative empathy and support for Governor DeSantis. So for now, though, since that's an impossible to know question, I'm just going to appreciate the stuff Governor Abbott does that I love. And if there's ever anything he does that I don't love, I'll tell you. And I'll tell him, because he's on the show all the time. Something else before I was going to play this. Maybe not. Shut up and play the audio. All right. Here is William Joy on Channel 8 last night. You have to know, and by the way, and you didn't have to be Einstein to deliver up this I told you so, but as soon as it was announced, step one, chapter one of this dreadful book was a surge of migrants at the border. Everybody's in hell because catch and release is back. We no longer have the Remain in Mexico asylum policy. The definition of asylum has been completely expanded to anybody that just kind of wants to come here. Asylum, ding, ding, ding. It used to have a specific meaning, and it was a pretty high bar. You had to be a persecuted class in an evil regime where you were flat out going to get killed because of what religion you are or for opposing the ruling government or something like that. Now it's just, hey, I'm poor. People get shot in my neighborhood. Ding, ding, ding. I mean, that's true of Detroit. All of a sudden, asylum, it means anything anybody wants it to. So that was chapter one, surge, massive surge at the border. Chapter two was, let's bring them all in. Hey, they're kids. It has to be for the children. Everything's for the children. By the way, I love children. But this is all a psyop. It's a psychological operation. It is an incursion with a purpose, a disaster by design, so that we can get all these folks in and have them vanish out into the tapestry of America to await legalization, naturalization, and decades of grateful Democrat voting. That is the plan. Do not walk around saying, well, Biden was clueless. He has no plan. This is the plan. And so the second chapter is massively crowded facilities down in Donna, in McAllen, in Hidalgo County, various places there along the border. Chapter three is we got to get them into our cities, Kay Bailey Hutchison Center. And then I said, there's going to be more. And then along came San Diego, and then along came El Paso and San Antonio. And in San Antonio, they're in a place called the Freeman Coliseum, and that is apparently hell on earth. I'll tell you what, let's let Governor Abbott tell you about it, because this is it, because now it's, oh, these facilities are so terrible. Now we got to get them off the border, then we got to get them into our cities, now we got to get them out of our cities. We have to get them out, distributed, atomized across every American time zone so that they can vanish, never to be heard from again until the, I don't know, elections of 2028, let's say. William Joy last night on Channel 8.
Governor Greg Abbott said Wednesday two state agencies received complaints earlier in the day that migrant children in San Antonio's Freeman Coliseum were being abused and neglected.
We don't know the total number of children abused. We're concerned that it could be more than one.
Abbott said an anonymous person or people complained children are being sexually assaulted, and the complaint said there are not enough staff to safely supervise children, that some weren't eating throughout the day, and that children with COVID are not being separated from others.
This facility is a health and safety nightmare.
Bexar County Commissioner Rebecca Clay Flores says she's been inside the facility and disputed the governor's assessment.
When I was in there, on several occasions, it is well staffed. The kids were very happy.
Abbott said he didn't have any evidence to share, and it's the first complaint they're aware of in the state.
If Governor Abbott has evidence, he ought to produce it.
David Cruz is the national spokesperson for LULAC. He says they're concerned but want more information. Federal officials said in an email they have a zero tolerance policy for abuse.
The time that is being wasted in lobbying political grenades ought to be spent in working with organizations like LULAC and others to come up with a solution.
Now, here's the problem with working with LULAC, as LULAC is in on it. The League of United Latin American Citizens, and by the way, free country, they can take whichever side they want, but the side that they want is open borders. The side that they want is immersion into the country. The side that they want is to make sure that this flood of migrants is dispatched across the landscape of America so that they can begin Democrat voting as soon as possible.
Are 1,300 children inside, and it's one of several overflow sites in the state, like the K. Bailey Hutchinson Convention Center in Dallas.
They must have locations that have better staff, better safety measures, situations where children would not be subject to abuse like this.
Cruz says LULAC agrees children should be out of all of the facilities.
Yeah, of course they should. We got to get them off the border and got to get them out of Mexico and onto our side of the border. Chapter 2, got to get them out of our side of the border and get them to our large interior cities in Texas and elsewhere in America. Chapter 3, oh, we got to get them out of those cities. Got to get them out of those cities. And we got to go find family members or sponsors so that they can vanish.
Governor a letter weeks ago asking to help, but so far haven't heard back.
We want them in safe environments with family members and community organizations, and so far it's fallen on deaf ears.
Abbott says the Texas Rangers are now investigating what happened.
These young people who are coming across the border, whatever circumstances they're fleeing, we need to find a solution now.
The solution now is is borders that mean something. This is not a solution you're going to get under Joe Biden. The solution we had under Trump was that asylum had not been dumbed down. The solution we had under Trump was remain in Mexico to declare your asylum and the merits of your claim will be assessed. The solution we had under Trump was the end of catch and release, where, you know, if you can get a foot onto American soil, oh, we got you for the moment, but then off you go with some vague promise of a court date.
The problem gets worse.
In Fort Worth.
Okay, so there's that. All right, speaking of things getting worse, it's 7:23, not to be Debbie Downer, but United Airlines, okay, here we go. Let me set this up in the following way. United Airlines yesterday on the Twitter. Our flight deck should reflect the diverse group of people on board our planes every day. Guess what? Your flight deck should reflect the ability to get me to my destination safely, and I don't give a damn what color or what sex anybody is, and neither should you. United steps in it even more deeply when we come back. Mark Davis, 7:24. It's a nice, bouncy little record. Too Late for Goodbyes. 1984. John Lennon's Kid. Julian is 58 today. Wow. Well, Lennon... did Lennon... Hang on a second. Let me ask you. Is Lennon 1940 or 41? 40. Lennon would have been 80. Yeah. Oh, boy. All right. In the file of why race relations are getting worse. OK. And anytime race relations are getting worse, we need to find who's doing it and stop them. We just do. And as with so many other things, some of the people doing the worst things, the most sinister, dreadful things, are doing them wrapped in the noble cloth of seeming to do good. Maybe they have good intentions. But I don't know. Maybe it's just about posturing or power. United Airlines, yesterday, our flight deck should reflect the diverse group of people on board our planes. That's why we plan for 50% of the 5,000 pilots we train in the next decade to be women or people of color. Dear United Airlines, just get me where I'm going and don't crash the plane. If you can do that, I don't care if every pilot you have is a black man, a black woman, an Asian man or woman, a Hispanic man or woman, an Eskimo, transgender, hermaphrodite. I don't care. I don't care. And neither should you. Neither should you. In no way am I suggesting that I believe certain races are better pilots. Not at all. Not at all. Not please. That's why I said I don't care if every pilot is black. Every pilot is a person of color, a woman of color. I don't care. But at some point, 50% of the pilots we train, that means they're going to get at some point. The possibility exists of, well, we got to flip a coin between this guy and this guy, or this person and that person. And, well, this person probably looks a little sharper on the uptake, but we don't have enough A, B, C, D, E, F, G. This is not the way to run an airline. This is not the way to run a country. And things like, and how do things like this make race relations worse? Because fair-minded people, all kinds of people, fair is fair. Equality of opportunity is what it's about. That's what the new word is, equity, not equality of opportunity, but equity of result. And that makes people just livid. And it makes them blame and think ill of and scapegoat the people who speak in this language of racial grievance. It is these people. And by the way, I'm not saying that people of color are making race relations worse. Alan West isn't making race relations worse. Clarence Thomas isn't making race relations worse. Walter Williams wasn't making race relations worse. Tim Scott isn't making race relations worse. Guilt-ridden white liberals are making race relations worse. All right, let's talk about it and maybe 14 other things with our buddy Mike Gallagher. And that is next. Gordon Griffin is in the newsroom, 7:32.
What a little moonlight can do.
Let's inject some class into these proceedings, Mike. How about a little Carmen McRae?
What a little moonlight. We need a little class.
Yeah, Lord knows. And yesterday was like, yesterday before was Billie Holiday's birthday. So another songstress of the era, the great Carmen McRae, born this date, 99 years ago.
Wow.
What a little moonlight can do. She lived a good long life. Passed away just a few years ago in 1994. So a little Carmen McRae. There you go.
Her.
So how are you feeling? Well, how are you doing? How's the plumbing?
I'm not doing too bad. There's good. Five people, speaking of passed away, that we heard over and over again were killed by the Capitol rioters on January 6th. Can you and I take a little trip down memory lane and listen to a montage? Would you like to hear a montage?
I love montages.
Yeah, I do too. I like being reminded of the objective, honorable, truth-telling media.
Always.
Let's listen just a few weeks ago.
President Trump is getting the wall, a wall, I should say, built at taxpayer expense, but this one is being built overnight around the U.S. Capitol to protect it from Trump supporters. The FBI director warning about an extensive amount of online chatter that calls for more violence. Five people, of course, killed in the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol, and it is becoming increasingly clear it could have even been worse.
He's still yet to properly talk about the five killed at the Capitol.
Well, America's not going to forget that five people were killed, including a Capitol right. police officer killed on the grounds that day. It simply happened.
We've seen five people killed at the Capitol. We must hold people accountable no matter what title they hold.
Mark, America's not going to forget about the five people killed. You haven't forgotten, have you?
I have not.
Good, good. So I'm afraid that the medical examiner yesterday seemed to disrupt that narrative. Turns out none of them were killed except Ashley Babbitt, who was killed by evidently a law enforcement officer that we still don't know who it is.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. The rulings and the deaths that occurred were announced in a statement yesterday by the D.C. Office of the Chief Medical Examiner. Let's see. The one guy, Kevin Greeson, 55, Benjamin Phillips, 50, they both died of natural causes due to cardiovascular disease. Now, wait a minute. We did see the woman they said was trampled, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was a woman trampled to death by Trump supporters. So either they were bashing Brian Sicknick in the head with a fire extinguisher, or they were beating the other two people to death, or they trampled this lady to death. Roseanne Boylan, 34, of Kennesaw, Georgia, turned out, the medical examiner says not so fast, she died of accidental acute amphetamine intoxication. She had a drug overdose.
Hmm.
How about that? And then, of course, in Babbitt's case, The medical examiner did confirm that the police officer's bullet killed her and the manner was homicide. As for Brian Sicknick, we still don't know. He collapsed a day after confronting the rioters. He died January 7th. We still don't know his cause of death because, strangely, medical examiner has not released his cause of death. But what we do know is of the five deaths, and the media insisted, all murder victims of Trump supporters, none of them were. None of them were. We still don't know, again, why Officer Sicknick died the day after the riots, but I wonder if we're going to get a retraction, a correction, an apology.
You're funny.
For all the members of the media who reported that five people were killed by Trump supporters.
I'm looking at the same list you are. And first of all, may God rest all their souls. Kevin Greeson and Benjamin Phillips, both guys in their 50s. Were they trampled? Were they, you know, victims of the violence? They died of hypertensive atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease. So
wow. So they had heart attacks heart disease, and that led to their deaths. I mean, honestly, Mark, how would you feel to be a family member of any of them and know that your loved one who had a tragic death and happened to pass in the middle of all this mess on the Capitol, that their death was used as a political tool to bludgeon Trump supporters.
And here's what's really important for those who are new to the segment. And by the way, anybody new to the segment, I'm on now. Mike Gallagher is on at 10 right here on 660 AM The Answer. And every day right here, we spend these few minutes together, and it's all at themikeonline.com. Click the podcast and listen to this golden segment every day. And if people are new to this and just learning kind of what we do, none of this is designed to minimize the rioting. None of this is designed to sugarcoat it or downplay it, but doggone it, if a media culture is going to ramp it up to a million miles beyond what it was in order to weaponize it and strategically use it to stigmatize 75 million people, that requires a response.
And I I'm kind of a disciple of Tucker Carlson. I admit that. I watch him religiously. I even push back a little bit against Tucker's narrative. He keeps talking about the January 6th riots and says that a lot of the people were in the people's house. Yeah. And, you know, it's the people's house, and they were just meandering down the hall. With all due respect to somebody, I you don't get to wander among – you can't wander around the speaker's house or the speaker's office and put your feet up. You can't meander around the Senate chamber and climb up on the podium and pretend to be, Nancy Pelosi. So sorry, that's the people's house doesn't mean you don't have to go through the metal detectors and get in there and be admitted like everybody else. Mm-hmm. I wish it weren't so, but that's our world. So you're right. I say that to reiterate, neither of us are justifying the awful violence that some of the participants got into on January 6th. But isn't it funny how we're not seeing a big media correction because all we heard were five people were killed? The media is corrupt. They don't care about facts. If they can condemn Trump supporters, they'll do it at the drop of a hat. And this story should be the front page story everywhere. And, of course, I'm being funny again. Because, as you said, because it's never going to be. They're not going to report on this.
That's right. And that's why the fence was up so that people could look and say, look what we've had to do with the Capitol to protect the Capitol, to protect the people's house from the evil next wave of Trump supporters.
Welcome to
today. And listen, this is, it's hurting my heart a little bit today because I find myself taking a look at little stupid stories like United saying that we're going to start screening people for race and sex and all this and the Georgia nonsense. But the larger thing that's so horrible about this is that race relations are getting worse. You turned 61 yesterday. Ha ha. Reminder. I'll be 64 in November. We are of a generation where Dr. King, was on his ascendancy as we were young children. We remember the 60s. We remember the amazing change of heart that America had as the 60s turned to the 70s, turned to the 80s, our amazing racial enlightenment, our journey, an amazing journey we've all been on. And now things are getting worse. And this is not just stupid leftist woke politics, which it is, but every time a United does something like this, every time you have the activists going after Georgia as they are, it smears and dilutes and shames what used to be an honorable profession, and that profession is civil rights activist. Dr. King, Joseph Lowery, Jesse Jackson back in the day. Amazing moral and political leadership to help America heal its racial inequities. Now, these people are race baiters and race hustlers, and they're making things worse, Mike. It's terrible. I mean, there are people of goodwill and good faith who, I heard an audio piece this morning, can't remember who it's from. It's like, now it's the job of the black church. The black church has often been referred to as the conscience of America, he said, which is true. And they said, now it's the job of the black church to make sure that everybody knows that these Georgia laws, just as Joe Biden says, are the new Jim Crow. This is shameful, and it's wrong, and it is creating ill will where there should be shared goodwill to continue our path toward better race relations. So
now,
sorry.
Let me respectfully disagree with you to some extent, mm-hmm. and I don't like disagreeing with you except when I do. Here's my disagreement. Mm-hmm. I don't see race relations per se deteriorating, because every time these issues come up, I get flooded with phone calls from black listeners who say this is ridiculous. We ought to have the best people flying the planes. There is a reaction now from many black Americans that we didn't used to hear. You know, I think about OJ, and that was 100% divided down race and creed. I mean, it was just race. White people were mortified that he got away with it. Black people thought that he, you know, didn't do it or whatever the argument was. But that was a real rough time for race relations. I don't feel that same fissure. I know there are activists taking to the streets. I know the Black Lives Matter activists, and many of whom are violent, are certainly not in lockstep with a lot of other Americans.
But that's what I mean. I'm going to push back against your pushback because I know what you mean. I don't mean we're going back to the 1950s or any nonsense like this, but the black folks and white folks, as the 60s turned into the 70s, turned into the 80s, turned into the 90s, we all kind of said, man, okay, we got problems. We're working on them, but we're largely working on them together, and things are getting better. Things absolutely are getting worse in terms of race relations, and I don't necessarily mean average black folk and average white folk or average anybody folk, like in the listenership. I just mean when you have an America where things like this are happening. Lisa came to me on the DVR yesterday and said, you know, Sharon Osbourne's gone. They're still playing old episodes of The Talk. Here's where The Talk went to hell. They hired this woman named Elaine Welteroff. And by the way, I don't care what anybody says. I mean, it's when it became a political harping, lecturing political show. They were talking about something that on the old Talk would have been an interesting subject, like when you have young kids and your kids are five and they draw a picture of a house and it's terrible. And you say, oh, it looks great because you're five. At what point do you start to tell your kid maybe how to draw a little better? You have a kid who's learning to play the piano. Bing, bah, 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 bah. That's great. You sound like Beethoven. At what point do you start to say, okay, here's how to maybe play the piano a little bit better? You follow me? Cool topic. Yep. Interesting. The old Talk would have done that. Elaine Welteroff, hired some months ago, says, well, I know I would have been one of those parents to sort of fawn and overpraise my kid. So far, so good. Because I know that as a child of color, when she gets out there in the world, in this America, she will not be praised. She will not be, she will not get the kind of positive feedback she deserves. She will not be given agency and legitimacy. Again, and the reason why, and this is the portrait she's painting, because of evil, racist, white supremacist America. Mike, that absolutely makes race relations worse. It does it by infuriating white people. It should infuriate everybody. And by turning, you and I have talked about this, the black parents who are saying, well, we have to have the talk. We have to sit our kids down and have the talk. What the hell's the talk? The talk is where we tell our kids that the police are out to kill you. You can't tell me race relations aren't made horribly worse by that.
No, I understand that there are people who denounce this country. They always have. They always will. I understand the radical activists. What I see is a a pushback from millions of Black Americans.
It's not just
in the talk
Thank
radio
God.
World.
Thank
it is
God.
It is beyond that. There, yep. Donald Trump got a record number of African American yep. votes. That we are headed in the right direction in many ways. I think this is the difference between you seeing the glass half empty and me seeing the glass half full.
I really do believe both the things we describe are happening. Go ahead and finish. I'm sorry.
I truly believe there is, just like there are millions of us who are becoming as aware as ever of the mainstream media, there is an awareness of a lot of Black Americans about the shenanigans of these activists who are anti-American, who are race baiting, and it's different now. So I think we just have to be very careful in choosing our phraseology. I don't believe race relations are getting worse.
I believe everything you say is true. There are elements, there are Black folk, people of all colors, who are wising up to these games and the race baiting. But for every African American who is saying, man, things aren't as bad as LeBron James says they are, there are five who believe LeBron, who believe Lemaitre.
You're letting the activists, that's what they want. That's a little bit, take the other activists that are in the streets, take Antifa and everything else. You're acting like the Antifa, for example, represents the majority of white Americans.
Not at all. I'm just talking about the effect, the media culture, the activist culture, Hollywood, sports. So many mush-brained Americans of all races listen to this garbage, and I think it's going to take a huge amount of effort and pushback from good people of goodwill like you, me, and people of all colors to help turn the tide.
Well, we'll see. Again, I like the optimism of people who do push back, and I like what I'm seeing. I think there are lots of Black Americans
who
are every bit along with the boycott of all this crap, and they're rejecting it with everybody else. And finally, maybe tomorrow we'll cover 11 people had an adverse reaction to the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which is the one I got in Colorado, so they shut down the vaccination site. And Mark, these weird abdominal pains I'm having, I'm not going to rule out. The only thing I've done different in my life was got the vaccine a few weeks ago. I hate to open that can of worms, but we're going to at some point. I may do it today on the show and tomorrow with you.
No problem, because it's funny. Both you and I were opening up our lives to relate our vaccine journeys because everybody's doing it.
They're telling us get a vaccine. And so, yes, sir, may I have another? We're lining up. As I'm sitting here in agonizing abdominal pain that the doctors can't figure out why, I asked my doctor yesterday, what about this vaccine I got? He said, I can't rule it out.
Well, no one should rule anything out. Exactly. You never know.
Well, there's a lot of ramifications to that. So check out the story about the 11 people who had adverse reactions in Colorado and why they shut that site down.
Can I ask something real quick? Oh, Lordy. Sure. Before you go full Alex Jones on me.
I know.
So 11 people. How many total human beings had been vaccinated at that site?
Millions. Mm-hmm. Millions.
Thank you.
You're right.
Thank you.
So, hey, somebody's got to be in the 11. Probably me. I still feel that eyeball's coming out right on my forehead any minute now.
All right, goodbye. All right, goodbye. Mike Gallagher with you today at 10 on 660 AM The Answer. So it seems to me that we ought to get a hold of, I don't know, like a member of Congress or something. Because we got Governor Abbott talking about the federally run facility, the HHS facility in San Antonio, as a haven for abuse and hunger and COVID protocol violations, et cetera, et cetera. We have woke politics trying to grab us by the throat in every realm, from the business world to the sports world. Congressman Roger Williams of Texas 25 joins us next.